Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye, Rose, is the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Julio Diaz is our host for Let's Go Pensacola, which you can hear at 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. And also, he hosts, founded, perpetuates, and makes excellent the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook and in theaters. When you go watch a movie with them, you get to talk about it and think about it, and it's good stuff. Julio, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is the second of the animated, is that right, basically?
Yeah, this is the sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which came out a few years ago and was pretty much universally loved, won the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature. And so now we've got the second of what apparently is going to be a trilogy.
Oh, okay, so we know in advance that we've got more yet to come. That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So if the first one was Star Wars, this is Empire Strikes Back.
And is it Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, man, it is. It really is. It actually, much like Empire may be the best Star Wars movie, this may actually be better than Into the Spider-Verse.
Wow.
It's really, really, really great. Continues focusing on Miles and Gwen, who we met in the first movie, but introducing a whole bunch of new characters. And I can't say enough good things about it. As gonzo, off-the-wall crazy as the first one is, this one is even crazier.
Oh, nice.
Gets into more different styles, more different versions of Spider-Man, including some we've seen before, without spoiling anything.
I gotcha.
And not just in the previous movie.
So they know it's great. Let's not oversell it. That way they're not going in thinking this is going to be the best movie ever made. But they can know to expect everything they loved about the first, and it will not disappoint.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think you're going to fall in love with some of the new characters for sure. And it has just as good a sense of humor, just as much heart, and just as much action.
Oh, great.
And where we leave off towards the next one, it's definitely an Empire moment.
Well, I love a sequel that pays off, so that's great. We've also got the only other movie out this week, I think, is Boogeyman. Is that right? This is Boogie.
Yeah,
I assume this is Boogie the scaring, not the dancing. Is that right?
Yeah, this is scary, not dancing. Although there was a Powerpuff Girls villain that was both. I mean, that would be kind of cool if it was that, but it's not. This is based on a Stephen King story, which, you know, tends to be a hit or miss thing when it comes to movies. I think, you know, there's been some really great Stephen King adaptations, and then there's been a lot of really not so great
Stephen King
adaptations. For somebody who's such a great author, you would think that there would be a better track record there. This one seems like it's going to fall somewhere in the middle. It's running about 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, so more positive than negative. But you know, just a very simple story about a couple of young sisters whose father is a therapist. They lose their mother. The father is wrapped up in his own pain, and then a patient of his leaves behind some kind of cursed creature that preys on the grief. So here we are with this premise. The trailers have left me kind of lukewarm on this, but the reviews, like I said, are okay. So if you're looking for something scary, if there's something wrong with you and you're not down with seeing Across the Spider-Verse, then maybe this is for you.
Well, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, 2/3 thumbs up is generally, that's going to be, at least a lot of people are going to enjoy that. So I appreciate that. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
Well, we're staring down the barrel of the next Transformers movie. So,
woohoo!
I don't know if that's avoidable. I actually have heard some In fairness, I've heard some good buzz about this one, and Michael Bay is not involved in it, at least not directly in any way that I'm aware of. So I'm hoping for more Bumblebee and less the first five.
I got you. Yeah, I'm with you. Oh, and by the way,
Bumblebee was actually great.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, you had a pretty good announcement for Pensacon guest this week, right?
Oh, we had a couple of really great announcements this week. Of course, you're probably talking about Vicki Lawrence.
I am.
The comedy icon from the Carol Burnett Show and Mama's Family. Very excited to have her. We're also bringing back from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Barry Boswick, Patricia Quinn, and Nell Campbell. So that's Brad, Magenta, and Columbia.
Nice.
So that's going to be a lot of people very excited about that. And of course, WWE legend Mick Foley is coming back, too. So it's been a big week for announcements, actually.
Well, as always, a congratulations. Obviously, it's a great event that you're one of the key people we talk to for. So, Julio, thanks for all the work always regarding Pensacon. Thanks for all the information about movies. Of course, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock tomorrow on News Radio. And check out the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Follow them and find out the movies they're watching so you can talk about them. Julio, thanks for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Coming up in just a moment, Woe Unto All Who Offend, or officially titled the Transgressors Memorial Ceremony. We'll have that in a moment. Before that, Gracie is in for Candy today with traffic on the fives.
Roadways are looking good right now. I-10, I-110 not showing any major slowdowns. If you do see something on the roads, just give me a call to the traffic line, 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Many businesses in our area ask us point blank, why do I need you, meaning ADX Digital, to do my business's digital marketing? Why can't I just do it on my own with Facebook and Google? Well, just because you can does not necessarily mean you should. The reality of it is digital marketing is constantly changing, growing, and evolving. Are you up to date with the latest advancements, trained in the latest technologies and platforms? Do you really have the time to design all the ads on your own, read the ebooks, plan the campaign, and begin to try to learn all of this stuff yourself? Aren't you already responsible for holding down the workload of 2-3 full-time jobs already? It's time you contact our trusted team of media experts at ADX Digital. We are your trusted team for community partnerships and radio marketing, and a comprehensive list of opportunities available for you in the online digital marketing space. We invite you to email us today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com to get started on your path to a digital marketing partnership.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here, Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play, Pensacola. Tune in this morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who've transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, The Sound of Music, that beloved Rodgers and Hammerstein musical featuring Maria the Singing Nanny, a stubborn but salvageable single father, those beloved Von Trapp children, and, unfortunately, Nazis. Yes, after decades of being performed by students in the Fullerton School District of California, the superintendent this week correctly decided that the play itself could go on. But all of the swastika-bearing signs, armbands, and flags, as well as the Hail Hitler salutes, would be redacted from the performance. His concern, obviously, was the images of youth actors wearing or performing such things might be photographed and misused on social media, inadvertently linking them or the school to genocide, anti-Semitism, and, you know, history in general. We, of course, applaud this decision to olive drab wash the past and make art which can never be misinterpreted or misused out of context in any way. Therefore, we support comprehensive scouring of all high school performance pieces to find and remove similarly offending material. Thus, there will be no mention of witchcraft in the Crucible, and no dressing as Puritans either, just in case. A Christmas Carol's Tiny Tim will have both legs intact for fear of seeming to mock those with alternative leg styles. And the use of poison must certainly be removed from Arsenic and Old Lace, which will henceforth be retitled Unidentified Liquid and Mature Lace. Since we wouldn't want pictures of student actors wielding weapons or committing suicide to be misconstrued, Romeo and Juliet will not contain poison or daggers. Hamlet will have no daggers. Macbeth will have no daggers. Richard III will have no daggers. Julius Caesar will have no daggers. In fact, on second thought, it's probably best to simply not have Shakespeare. Yes, we will make sure that nothing in any high school play could ever offend anyone or be taken out of context on social media. We will show that we are totally different from those art-censoring Nazis by prohibiting everything bad in school art. The hills will not be alive with the sound of music. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, tipping. Because it's racist. It came to our attention this week through an otherwise innocuous-seeming article in Newsweek about whether or not to tip the attendant who scoops your ice cream cone that the practice of tipping itself is rooted in the oppression of black Americans after the Civil War. As we now know, tipping was essentially unheard of in America prior to the late 1800s, having been mostly practiced by Europeans as part of the feudal system between lords and servants. Properly seen as a remnant of injustice, Americans resisted this practice when immigrants, who knew no better, tried to import it along with their other cultural baggage. One place it took hold, however, was in the restaurants, where wicked employers would hire newly freed slaves, desperate for work, and only pay them in tips from customers. Similarly, when George Pullman wanted to simulate luxuriant living on his rail cars, he hired black servants who were willing to work for the paltry tips of travelers since no other work was available to them. Presidential candidate Taft even campaigned against the practice. Having discovered this light history, not dark history, mind you, and seeing that nothing at all has changed in 150 years, we now know that giving waiters, barbers, Uber drivers, bartenders, valets, caddies, and dog groomers tips is not an expression of appreciation for their hard work, but is really a vile system of racial oppression, no matter what their race or yours happens to be. Therefore, do not pay these poor people anything. This will force them to collectively rise up and demand their just wages, causing their employers to raise the price of everything so we can finally pay the true cost of services delivered with average customer service and lose the ability to reward excellence and punish incompetence. Let feudalism and the caste system finally perish in these United States of equity. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, let us all take a moment to celebrate the extremely vigilant self-cleansing work of virtue signaling that was performed this week by the Connecticut State Senate, which voted 33-1 to exonerate a dozen people who were convicted of witchcraft in the middle 1600s, 11 of whom were hung to death. Yes, predating the more well-known Salem witch trials by 30 years, the Hartford witch trials involved allegations of magic being used to transform into animals at night, causing victims to levitate above their beds, and even forcing one young girl to speak with an accent, probably Irish. Of course, the heretics of unwokeness around us will say that this episode only proves how dangerous the impulse toward mob judgment and intolerance can be. They'll say the witches of yesteryear might well be the climate deniers and anti-rainbowists of today, but they don't realize how uncanceling the victims of mass hysteria in the past actually serves to vindicate the mass hysteria and cancellations of today. At absolutely no cost to themselves, the elected leaders of Connecticut can preen their modern sensibilities at the expense of their forebears, reminding us all that nothing we believe is right today is completely safe from utter contempt by our descendants, whether they come after us by 400 years or 4 years. The arc of our moral universe is short, but it bends toward self-certainty. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before we dismiss, Mrs. McCann is looking for a few more younglings to join the inaugural class of her gender fluid scouts. Virtue badges include confessing your biases, identifying microaggressions, basic and advanced, avoiding cultural appropriation, how not to be a Karen while still complaining to the manager, identifying white privilege, and reparations as penance. This week's lesson in Boycotting 101 has been delayed in solidarity with the ongoing Writers Guild strike. We certainly wouldn't want to be found committing verbal creativity without a contract at this time of our dear friend's need. Also, this week's fat-free, cage-free, gluten-free, non-GMO cultural sensitivity bars were donated by the local Starbucks, who couldn't even give them away for free, if you can believe it. So much the better for us. And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
8:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, abrupt ending. Oh, well, it happens. Gracie is sitting in for Candy this morning with traffic on the fives.
Roadways are looking great right now with I-10 and I-110 not showing any major slowdowns. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, 850-2626-111. Also, this traffic report is brought to you by Avalon HR. With so much going on, you need Avalon. It's employing made easy. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Gracie. Now David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden will be addressing the nation tonight about the debt ceiling bill that Congress passed this week. There's still three people unaccounted for after that partial collapse of an apartment building in Iowa. Davenport police say teams now are shifting from rescue to recovery, with three people still missing 6 days after the collapse.
There's a high probability that they are within that collapse space, and all the information provided to us is that that space is not sustainable for life.
And it's believed that all three may have been home when the buildings collapsed. And Adidas now selling off its Yeezy brand sneakers.
No!
Yeah, I know. It's tragic, isn't it? They say a significant amount of the money made from the remaining inventory of Yeezys, though, will be donated to organizations that fight anti-Semitism and racism.
Buy two pair of Yeezys and get a free case of Bud Light?
Sounds about right.
No? Is that a selling point or an anti-selling
Woe
point?
Woe to all
know.
Who offend.
Woe to all who offend. That's exactly right. All right, David, thanks so much for the update and the crowd response. 8:27 on News Radio 92.3. Of course, you've heard that Governor DeSantis is now traveling all over to the early primary and caucus states. He was in Iowa before earlier this week. He's now in New Hampshire. This was from Iowa.
So look, I'm going to respond to attacks.
This is, by the way, when Trump has been criticizing him for his COVID response and actually taking the side of Cuomo. Like, Trump is aligning with Cuomo against DeSantis. That's how desperate he is to make sure that everybody hates DeSantis.
I mean, if you say Cuomo did a better job with COVID than Florida did, first of all, that's not what he used to say. This is like new. Like 6 months ago, he would have never said that, right? He used to say how great Florida was. Hell, his whole family moved to Florida under my governorship. Are you kidding me?
It's so bad that he had to move here, right?
So some of this stuff, I think, is, look, if someone is saying that, I am gonna counterpunch. I'm going to fight back on it. I'm going to focus my fire on Biden, and I think he should do the same. He gives Biden a free pass. I'm focusing on Biden. That's my focus.
Yeah, but of course Trump recognizes that he's got to get through DeSantis to get to Biden, right?
But when I hear something like that, it is so detached from reality. You know how I know? Because I would have people come up to me in Florida during COVID in tears, hug me, perfect strangers, say, thank you, Governor. I escaped from these lockdown jurisdictions. You saved my bacon. I'm here in Florida. My kids are in school. You name it. This was personal to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And to flippantly say that you should have done New York, you know, we have no, I think, we obviously have to respond about that.
Yeah, so, and he is now. Now that he's declared as a candidate, he is responding more. And this bicker battle is, I'm going to get tired of this real fast. I already was. 437-1620. If you are the kind of good employee who decides to help your boss at the convenience store understand how the closed circuit television cameras can be used to prevent shoplifting and catch thieves in the store. Just a side note, it might also do well for you if you don't then continue to embezzle from the store on camera in front of the system that you taught the boss how to use. An actual story out of Singapore. where a guy taught the boss how to use the cameras. The boss found a guy stealing from the employee, and then in further scouring of the tapes found that the guy who trained him on the system was also continuing to produce fake duplicate receipts to customers and pocket the cash. And, you know, he was like the most trusted ally of the store, and so it was a big blow to his trust and faith in humans. But, you know, hey, welcome to the race. Fiesta Parade is tonight, 7 o'clock. The Boat Parade is tomorrow. We got Coronation coming up next week. The children's stuff, just all the children's treasure hunt, all kinds of stuff for Fiesta this weekend. Have a good time.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Uncommon speed in the U.S. Senate. They passed the McCarthy-Biden House bill to slow down spending and suspend the debt ceiling for the next president to deal with. It's on President Biden's desk to sign. President Biden joked he got sandbagged after taking a tumble and full-on fall on stage at the U.S. Air Force Academy graduation. Then on Air Force One, he had a phone call with Barack Obama. What about? White House says the votes in Congress and other topics. Presidential candidate Donald Trump called Biden's tumble not confidence-inspiring and pivoted to GOP rival Ron DeSantis in his first Iowa town hall on Fox's Hannity on how long it takes to turn the economy around.
I heard DeSantis saying, I get eight years, he gets four. You don't need four and you don't need eight. You need 6 months. Within 6 months, I said...
America's listening to Fox News.
Good Friday morning, 8:31, News Radio 92.3. The sun shining this morning. It's 75 in Pensacola. And Keith Leonard officially on the job this week as the interim superintendent of Escambia County Public Schools. His contract began yesterday. It's going to run through next year. And Leonard was appointed earlier this week, despite some calls by community members for Deputy Superintendent Sheena Payne to get the job instead. Payne says that she's happy, though, to support Leonard as in his job as superintendent.
If he needs a voice, then I can be that voice. If he needs a presence, then I can be that presence. I'm a support system always, and we're thinking of ways, continuing to think of ways that we can help kids and make kids better.
And that was Sheena Payne there. She talked with Channel 3. As for Keith Leonard, he says his goal is to focus on some of the issues that the district hasn't been able to address because of the controversial and pressing issues they've been dealing with all this last year. Escambia Fire and Rescue holding testing for potential firefighter cadets tomorrow.
Going out and take the test. I will say it is very physically demanding. So I would advise you to be in shape when you get there because it is. They're going to put you through the paces.
Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno and the testing being held tomorrow morning at the Pensacola Fire Station 4 on North Q Street. It'll start at 8 o'clock in the morning. If you're planning on taking the test, they're advising people to get there about 30 minutes early. Testing is also available for certified firefighters that have to take the test. And testing includes push-ups, sit-ups, a 1.5-mile run, and some firefighter-specific testing as well. The Pensacola Police Department now has a suspect in custody in connection to a stabbing yesterday. Investigators described that stabbing as being domestic in nature. In a tweet yesterday, PPD said they were searching around the Tanglewood apartments. As of now, the suspect and charges haven't been made available. A Brevard County woman now facing charges in her child's hot car death. Palm Bay's Bulaine Mulmay was arrested yesterday for aggravated manslaughter of a child. Police say the 37-year-old woman left her 11-month-old daughter in a car for 3 hours on Sunday outside of a church. Mulmay's a co-pastor. She told police she was late for the service and thought another parishioner had brought the baby inside. One of the biggest new country superstars has been announced now for next year's Gulf Coast Jam in Panama City, Morgan Wallen. Now, he was originally supposed to headline this year's festival coming up this weekend, but he had to cancel after a vocal cord injury. He's now been announced as the headline act next year. Wallen's last show here along the Gulf Coast was at the Wharf, July of last year. And it is 8:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Gracie, what are you seeing?
Our roads are looking good right now. We do have an accident on 87 just south of I-10. So if you are leaving Navarre headed northbound, you will see some traffic there, just a small patch in the northbound direction. But other than that, we're looking good. If you do see something on the roads, just give me a call to the traffic line, 850-2626-111. And this report is sponsored by Fresh from Florida. Hey, shoppers, this is your local farmer letting you know that Florida watermelon is in season right now. You can learn more at followfromfreshfromflorida.com. This is from the Florida Department of Agriculture. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing an isolated chance of rain today, but a few more peaks of sunshine. 30% chance of rain overall with a high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. We're going to be warming up as we head into the weekend. 20% chance of rain on Saturday with a high near 92. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 75 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 74 in Milton. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Your money now right this morning. Markets are opening up. The Dow's up big, 322.32 at 33,383.89. S&P 500 up 39.58 at 42,60.87. And the NASDAQ is up 137.67 this morning at 12,238.65. Our 10-year bond rate today is up at 3.63%. Our gold prices this morning down at $1,992.30 and silver prices at $2,401. Your next news at 9, breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Said a hip hop, the hip hopper, you don't stop. Wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the wrap. It's time in the week when we end the broadcast week by talking with a couple of friends here in studio with me. Joining me today, we have Tammy Ward, who is a repeat offender. Tammy, good to have you back.
Thank you.
A brand new guest, somebody that you have heard recently on the show, but only because I was playing clips of her speaking in the open forum portion of the Pensacola City Council meeting last week. Grace Resendez McCaffrey, who is the owner of the Spanish newspaper La Costa Latina.
Morning.
All right, you say it your way.
La Costa Latina.
Thank you. Much better way to say it than my way, but still, either way. All right, so Tam, I'm going to start with you, if only because we have news. And people have been hearing you for years, literally for 8 years.
Exactly.
Talk about scams and how not to have your identity stolen and all this kind of stuff. But there's a change.
There is a change. I did give my notice on Wednesday, and I will be going to another nonprofit.
Outstanding.
That, you can have me back in a couple months and I'll
talk about that. Okay.
But it's a mixed with motions. But it'll actually give me an opportunity to work from home. So I'm excited.
Oh, all right. Well, congratulations.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, congratulations then. And thank you for all of the information over all of the years and all the times on Pep Talk and, you know, coming in here and all this kind of stuff. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
I think some of this stuff is going to come up for us in the course of our conversation today. But still, certainly your area of expertise is preventing identity theft, helping people avoid financial scams. You know, don't answer the call. Don't answer the email.
And it's funny because my sister actually had a something that she asked me about. And she goes, you're not going to forget any of that when you go to someplace else. So I can still call you, right?
You're still going to be the resource people know they can count on. Fair enough. Grace, you and I have, God, how long have we known each other? I mean, it's years. I don't even remember how we met. five, six, 8 years, something anyway. But, you know, we've known each other for quite some time. But you, I played some clips of you this week, well, from last week at the Pensacola City Council meeting, because you were talking about the SB 1718 bill. And we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about this. For people who haven't been following the news as much, this is the immigration bill or anti-immigration bill that Governor DeSantis signed. It does things like it makes it so that if you had, for example, a California driver's license, but you're not legally in the United States, that would not be legal in Florida. It would be invalid. States, cities cannot issue documentation. Companies over 25 people have to use E-Verify. If you are transporting more than five people who are illegally in the country across the line into the Florida, that is a trafficking violation. If it's one minor, that's a trafficking violation. There's a handful of other. Oh, you have to. Hospitals have to collect information on patients who are illegally in the U.S. or not in the, and therefore to document how much money is being spent to give health care to illegal immigrants. So a variety of provisions. I'm probably forgetting some because I know there were a bunch, but that's the bill, just sort of in case people weren't familiar with it. And you brought a bunch of people to city council, not because they have the power to change it, but just so there's awareness, right?
Yeah, because even people that do follow the news haven't heard much about this bill as it came through. And so when it got signed, we all kind of took a deep breath and started to think about what to do to help our community. And one of the things that we needed to do was let our community leaders know. We've been working together for a long time on various things, various aspects of our immigrant community, and this is going to have a big impact.
You know, what might be helpful is, I think for people who don't interact with the people you interact with, okay? What sort of size and what sort of ethnicity of immigrants do we have here? Because one of the things I learned recently was I didn't realize we have such a high Vietnamese population here in the Pensacola area. So, I mean, I don't know if you have numbers or percentages or anything, but what sort of is the shape of the immigrant community, particularly the Hispanic community?
I don't have numbers for you. Numbers are not something that we're able to really even estimate because the last census was quite difficult to to get people to participate in.
During COVID and with different rules, right?
Yeah, and there's a trust factor in there, especially when we're talking about our immigrant community. So it was hard to convince people that it was a safe thing to do.
Are people who are here with documentation, here legally, still afraid?
Sure.
What are they afraid of?
Well, first, to understand a person's situation of immigration, it varies. There's a large variety of situations. And oftentimes, actually the majority of the time, there are people that come to the country legally but fall out of status. That's why we try to avoid certain verbiage that are pretty common, but it's because it gets very complicated.
So the term illegal alien or illegal immigrant, you don't like that term?
I don't care for it at all.
Okay.
It makes it difficult to have a conversation.
And so in your mind, it would be because a lot of them sort of were legal, but then that status changed based on they didn't follow up appropriately or they didn't
the
show
majority.
Up to something. And
correct.
So it's not people who came here with no status whatsoever, but they came and then that changed subsequently.
Correct.
Okay. And it is a catch-all term.
Yeah.
And we don't use particularly nuanced terminology in this conversation. So fair enough.
Okay.
I will probably still use it, but I'm always open to learning.
I understand.
And one of the things that was in this bill, and I kind of want to get Tammy in on this, is part of the bill is invalidating the licenses and the documentation that's issued by other states. To me, that ties in with the question of identity theft, with the question of, you know, being able to demonstrate who you are for a worker with E-Verify, which is supposed to be used but is not required to be used. Tammy, when you think about, like, identity theft issues and, you know, proving either your illegal status here in the U.S. or anything else, I mean, when you hear this issue about proving who you are and being able to use documentation, what does that resonate for you, or what does that bring up for you?
It's just, when listening to her, I can understand, because those people, they think they may have what they need, but maybe they don't. Or, you know, they go to to one business and that business is looking for something that they don't have. Mm-hmm. So they may not go and try to get a job because they're not sure what they have and they're afraid that somebody will, you know, take what they have and then they don't have any kind of documentation. So identity theft is so rampant these days, but on the other hand, as far as when you're trying, you think you've got the documentation to prove who you are, sometimes you don't. Because everybody looks at something differently. So you can't go across any area and somebody's going to need the same documentation everywhere. I do let, and you know, taking it out of your hands, you don't want it to go. I was very nervous when I went to do my last information. I had to have a drug test and all of that for this new job. And they wanted my social security number. They wanted my passport. They wanted my immunization records.
Okay.
And I tore up my home office finding all of that. But
right.
It's all in a packet now. But I gave it to the lady and she left my site with all of that documentation.
Oh, scary moment. Yeah.
It is, because I went through it all and made sure that I had it all, because you don't know. You can't. It's hard to trust. And I can only imagine those people that, you know, were not born in the United States. If I was very hesitant to let my paperwork go and where I couldn't see it. So I, you know, it's.
And often they have to mail their original documents. To
really?
Be able to do, yeah, and it's a very scary situation.
Well, yeah,
and the mail doesn't always arrive. I mean, you know, and you don't know what's happening. And
I've had grown men crying on the phone saying they lost my passport and I don't know what to do.
And I have an additional wrinkle, of course. I know some people just think, well, okay, if you're not here, if you're here when you're not supposed to be under whatever the nature of that is, well, that's your problem. You know what I mean? But as a human factor, you can't just. Well, I can't just go down to like the you know, Scott Lunsford's office and just fix it. You know, I take for granted that if there were a problem with my whatever documents, you know, mm-hmm. I can just go to the tax collector's office and I can, you know, we can take care of this, right?
We're very slow in getting to that point. I mean, 4 to 5 years ago, our Medicare cards were our Social Security number. They only changed it less than 5 years ago to a number that wasn't a Social Security number. So our country is very slow in helping us protect our identity, but we're trying.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, we're going to take a real quick timeout. Let's get Grace in here. Different Grace. Gracie.
Grace 1 and Grace 2.
Every once in a while, I book people with the same name completely inadvertently. And so we'll have like two Johns or two Brennans or something on. Today we have Grace and Gracie.
I'll stick with Grace.
Go ahead, Gracie.
We're good. Well, our roads are looking good. We do have an accident on 87. If you're heading northbound towards I-10 from Navarre, you are going to be seeing some slowdowns due to this accident. But other than that, we're looking good. If you see something else, give me a call at 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie on News Radio.
Thanks, Gracie. Okay, so back to Grace Resendez McCaffrey and Tammy Ward. Grace, this day without an immigrant yesterday, the thing that I had a challenge understanding with it was, it seems to me like the bill is designed to make Florida inhospitable to people who I would call illegal immigrants. You don't like that term, but you know, people who are improperly documented mm-hmm. or lacking appropriate documentation. And so it seemed like the protest was not for those people only to stay away from work, which is what the law is trying to accomplish. And I get that you're trying to maybe show Florida what it will look like if this law actually works. But it seemed like it was also people who are here, I'm going to say legally, okay, with mm-hmm. documentation, for them also to stay away from work, which seems to be a misfire because those are not the people the law targets. But you tell me.
I mean, it was really... probably more specifically immigrant workers and their supporters.
Okay.
So it's and because something like that, you need large numbers to
right.
understand the effect. It does affect our Hispanic community a little bit more because they're the majority of the labor that you see in mm-hmm. construction and hospitality and in agriculture, which everybody knows Florida is very dependent on those things. So,
I drive through a work site, you know, I see homes being built. I mean, the team that built my house, we're Hispanic. Okay. You see it's, I mean, you'd have to be blind not to notice that the vast majority of the construction labor teams are Hispanic. Mm-hmm. Are those folks typically documented, undocumented? It's a mixture.
I don't ask. I'm assuming it's a mixture.
Okay.
Yeah.
And part of the challenge with the law is you were presenting in city council along with Chandra Smiley from Community Health Clinic and several others was that these people are now taking their cars and leaving. They're moving. They're putting their homes up for sale, many of them, because they're scared. And then businesses that depend on that community, that are providing a service to that community, are also suffering, right?
Yeah, and understand that a lot of families are mixed in terms of their immigration status. You might have a family of all American citizens, but one person, maybe the breadwinner, is undocumented. And then you have folks that, depending, like for me, depending on the day of the week and how I'm dressed, are often made assumptions upon.
Sure.
And who wants to live like that, constantly having to justify their existence? It's a rough way to live.
Well, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because I knew you'd bring... I don't think we talk about that enough. And I don't think, you know, I'm a big believer in being honest about the facts, right? That's why I wanted to share the clips that you guys shared and wanted to talk about it a little. Do immigrants have as many problems, more problems with the identity theft stuff?
Not identity theft, but see, Tammy and I have actually worked together a little bit before. She may not be aware of this, but I publish a lot of the stuff that she
Oh, interesting. Oh. In the newspaper. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because immigrants can often be a more common target. And of course, the consequences can be more costly.
Because they don't have recourse.
They're afraid to say something. Yeah. They don't necessarily know how to fix things. And then if they are undocumented, that creates a much deeper situation for them. But unfortunately, they are targets because of all of those things.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about scams and...
So you can rank them right up there with the older generation then?
I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
They
seem to be more, not less tolerant, but targeted because of who they are.
And trusting because it's somebody who speaks their same language.
Right.
Yeah. So they're getting taken advantage of by people who speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so they
other
think,
Hispanic people.
So other Hispanic people are... I mean, which is sadly human nature, right?
Right.
You know, you take advantage of the people that you think you can find as targets, and that's a target-rich group.
Yeah.
I want to switch gears maybe just a little bit, because I know there's some other news stories I wanted to get to, but I definitely wanted to take some time to talk about that stuff. Actually, before, any other final thoughts you want to leave with me? Anything you want to correct me about?
This is such a huge conversation.
I don't have enough time.
No, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because, you know me, I like to hear what different people think. Even if I disagree, I want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
There's so much more. I wouldn't know what to,
fair
what
enough.
To close this with. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
Just to bring awareness, I think, is the biggest thing. And, you know, whoever you are, you don't know whose situation or what when you meet somebody, so don't prejudge.
And I think the transportation issue is probably one of the most difficult ones to deal with, because whether someone's gone through the process of getting a legally issued driver's license from another state and it's no longer valid, the frustration of trying to do things the right way just had the rug pulled under.
and I'll just, you know, from experience, I'll just say that I know the people who are very against immigration in general, or what they would call illegal immigration, can sometimes be pretty callous about it. I mean, to understate the case, and not thinking about, like, for me personally, the Hispanics that I have known, immigrants, you know, that I have, and not just Hispanic, but immigrants in general, extraordinarily hardworking. You know, they love the country. Mm-hmm. They come here for the hope and freedom that it promises, and the opportunity to play capitalism and do it better than the natives do. You know, a lot of times.
Right.
They're an embarrassment to us, frankly, in how they take advantage of the system in all the right possible ways. And so I would say few by percentage who don't do that, or who do things inappropriately or commit crimes or whatever, really ruin it for everybody else who'd like to come and, you know, do things appropriately.
Sure.
Switch gears a little bit, just because I thought a really big story in the last day was, and this is just for child safety, Governor DeSantis. Signed the it's not a red light bill, it's a red sign bill. It's when the school buses put out the sign that says "Do not walk, do not cross here." That, you know, you have to stop for the them, that you can now get a ticket for that. I've been a supporter. I love this bill.
Yes.
I think I don't know why I mean, I do know why people object to it, but this seems to me like if people are passing these school buses at the rate of thousands a day, and it is thousands a day in Florida.
When you said 7,000, I thought you meant like for the year.
Right.
When you said per day, it was a good thing I wasn't driving at the time because it was just like, wow.
It's an unbelievable number.
And just in the state of Florida.
Right. In Florida, bus drivers surveyed. They surveyed 6,000 bus drivers, and they said that in a given day, an average driver basically has at least one time. And if there's 6,000, you know, they said their number was 7,000 reports in a single day. And I'm like,
well, Lord. I know it happens because I've watched them. I've been in a car when I watched people pass. And it's like, hello, when the yellow light comes on, slow down.
Yeah.
Just like you would, you should slow down at a stoplight when it turns yellow. But it's just amazing. And then when you talked about the ones that actually go on the right.
Yeah.
Where the kids are actually getting on and off the bus. What are these people thinking?
It's not as common, but it's horrifying. I mean, and I understand as a driver, you get anxious. You know, you're playing your video game. You want to accomplish the driving. Like, I get what happens in people's minds. But you've got to be able to say, okay, the video game stops here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a school bus. We're protecting kids' lives.
Well, and sometimes it's because they're late. Leave early. You know?
We should be accountable for our own...
I know it's a
consequences and decisions. It's such a weird thing you say that.
It's very weird and you know, very unique.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what you think, but I just when I see that on a daily basis when I have the school buses, I'm like, why?
And this is one where the opponents of the red light cameras have taken their objections there and said, well, therefore we don't want these bus cameras. I'm like, I mean, if we can't agree about this, you know, like this is the lowest hanging fruit. You know what I mean?
What is their opposition to it?
Oh, well, they say the red light cameras are the inappropriate government grabbing of money But on the school buses, they say it's too much like this other thing. It's going to be people getting tickets they didn't really deserve. You can't validate the fact that the video and the still photos proved. I mean, people have their principles and then they. Anyway, that's good. Let's take a real quick break. Gracie has traffic on the fives.
Roadways are looking good on I-10 and I-110. If you're heading northbound on 87, you will be seeing some slow-moving traffic. That is going to be due to an accident. If you see something else on the roads, give me a call at 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3.
Thanks so much, Gracie. One of the other stories, this just came out yesterday, and I've been talking about this morning because I think it's great news, but it's also got a concern note built in it, which is the decrease in teen birth rate. You know, it has been declining significantly since the 90s when it was like 60 per thousand, and now it's down to 13 per thousand, and it has been steadily declining basically every year. You know, 1%, 1.5% is still too much. It should be zero, you know, for 16, 17, 18-year-olds. But, okay, you know, that's better than 2%. That's better than 4%. The one thing I noted in the data, though, and, I mean, this is not a surprise. It's not new, but is that Black and Hispanic teen girls are slightly more than double white girls having pregnancies and delivering birth. And I want it to be zero for everybody, but if we're going to make progress still, there's sort of more margin for improvement among Black and Hispanic girls than among white girls. And so somehow or other, the message, the behavior, the solutions, preventions, whatever, that's where we need to focus our efforts. Grace?
Well, can't speak for everyone, but sure. I can tell you that I see a lot of cultural issues that may be connected to that. One of them is that a lot of us are raised to be moms. That's our mission in life, is to have kids. And so you kind of have this mentality, even at a young age, that someday you will.
Strong Catholic and Pentecostal.
Well, and I was going to go there. And Hispanic Catholic families also do not believe in birth control.
Right.
May be a surprise to you. I grew up in a very conservative home, very democratic, but conservative when it comes to... the issue of birth control.
You know, that's something people don't realize is mm-hmm. that, you know, it might be Democrat on sort of economic policy, mm-hmm. but Hispanics are very culturally conservative, typically. Go ahead,
absolutely.
Sorry.
Yeah, and so it's been hard to to even have that conversation with, you know, especially our older generation.
Yeah. And as you say, the opposition to birth control you would think there would also be a strong message about, well, don't engage in premarital sex.
Absolutely.
But sometimes you get one message and not the other, you know?
They both happen, but they don't always are successful.
Right. Well, it's just really interesting conversation. We always run out of time too fast. Tammy Ward, as always, thank you. Grace Resendez McCaffrey, first time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to